You know that one of these days they are going to get him, right? But it's not this day. This day we find Jesus in the temple. It's, you know, I really do think that at this point, Jesus sees the end game. I think he sees where this is going, but he's not going to allow for it to happen until he is ready. I think that's part of what drives him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and the entrance with the fanfare, the palms, and then what brings him to the temple with the dramatic actions that he takes when he enters, and then to this teaching. Because he has been teaching now for a while in the temple when he is approached by these two groups, these disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians. We don't know much about the Herodians now, a couple thousand years later. What we do know is that they were supportive of Herod, the puppet king of Rome. And so it's a very unlikely combination then, the Pharisees, these religious scholars, and the Herodians. But they share one thing in common. They want to take Jesus down. They are therefore conspiring, breathing together towards that end. And so, like has happened before in this gospel, they come to Jesus with a trap. And like any good trap, this one is particularly effective because it is simple. So here it is. They come to Jesus and they let him know how much they think he's a fantastic teacher, doing all the right things, and then they ask the question, is it lawful to pay the tax, the tribute, to Caesar, the emperor, or not? Really simple, innocuous-sounding question. A kind of a question, it's a yes or no question, which you would assume would then require a yes or no answer. And so here's the problem. If Jesus says yes, it is lawful to pay the tax, then he loses all of the credibility he has with those who have been following him, because this tax on the harvest, on property, that is enacted by Rome but collected by the people of Israel, has many, perhaps all of his disciples under the economic heel of the Roman Empire. So that's one side of the trap. The other side of the trap is if he says, no, it's not lawful to pay the taxes. Now, if he did this, he would be essentially denying the legitimacy of the Roman Empire, which they're not too fond of. And so here he is, trapped, right? Yes or no? And you would expect this is a yes or no question, but that's actually not what Jesus does with it. In fact, in a very Jesus way, he decides to split the middle. And he does this by turning it around. Kind of reminds me of what you might see from Groucho Marx, or from The Roadrunner, or from Brer Rabbit. You know, distracting the aggressor long enough to be able to take the trap that has been set for you and move it over to them, which is just what Jesus does. Because he then says, show me a coin that you would use to pay this tax. And so they have no choice but to pull out a coin, a denarius, the coin of the Roman Empire. And I wonder if, as they're doing this, they kind of have this feeling of, uh-oh, like something's not right. We had this all set up, and now it's going sideways, and we don't know what to do to stop it. Because what Jesus then asks is, so who is on that coin? Whose image? Whose icon is there? Well, it's pretty obvious. It's Caesar's, of course. Yes, it is. And so give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. Neither yes nor no. And they are stunned, marveled. They wonder at how it is he has escaped again. And here we are, wondering what to make of it. Because I hate to say it, but the couple thousand years that we have experienced as a Christian people have not brought us to a terribly definitive answer on this one. But there are three ways that we, over the centuries, have approached this question. One of them is to say that there is a political sphere and there is a religious sphere. And these two do not intersect. So what is Caesar's is Caesar's, what is God's, or what happens, maybe God gets Sunday and Caesar gets the rest of the week. Or other interpretations of this, take for example this country back in 1915-16, as we are approaching World War I, and there were some Episcopalians who were questioning what role they should have. And the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church used this scripture and this interpretation to say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. It is our obligation to fight. Another interpretation of this teaching. So when Jesus says to those Pharisees and the Herodians, show me the coin. This is an object lesson with a very particular purpose. Because the denarii that we have unearthed show a few things. One, they have the image of Caesar. Right, it says, son of the deified Augustus. And then on the reverse, it says, Pontifex Maximus, or High Priest of Rome. By actually taking the coin out and showing it, they have admitted their complicity with the corrupt system. Right? Context here is critical. They're in the temple. This coin should never be in the temple. There is actually a whole practice around this. You may remember that just a couple chapters before we get to this point, Jesus enters the temple, and what does he do with the money changers' temples? He overturns them. Why were there money changing temples? Because people had denarii that they could not bring into the temple because it had the image of this supposed God that needed to be exchanged for shekels. And so Jesus is saying, look, you are already complicit in this system of idolatry. You're already enmeshed in its gears. which I get. Whether the empire is Roman or Spanish or British or American, the empire is insatiable. So what do we do? What are we to do? Are we? Is our response to be like our sisters and brothers in the Quaker tradition, some of whom refuse to pay taxes to what they consider to be an idolatrous system? A third interpretation, that when Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, what he is in fact saying is everything is God's, which, as you can imagine, creates a much smaller footprint for Caesar, which doesn't always go over very well. But if everything is God's, what is sacred? What is profane? What do we do with what we have? So this is the point in the sermon that gets confessional. This is my confession for this Sunday, that I use money every day. Almost every day, I use money. I traffic in those bills of the dead presidents. Hopefully one day, of heroines like Harriet Tubman. But I use it all the time. Does that make me unclean? I sometimes actually have those bills, but I use my phone. I use a credit card. When I buy groceries, when I buy fuel for my truck, when I buy a new appliance because one is broken down again, when I buy insurance for things that are supposed to pay for things that have broken down, when I buy a fishing license, when I press that button that says, whatever I am buying will arrive in my house in 2 days' time. I struggle with that. And I click the button. I use money when I buy gifts to show my love and affection for people in my life, these symbols I offer them. I use money to give to people who have need, to groups and organizations that support the brokenhearted and bind up the wounded. And as I look at this, I really wonder, am I doing right by this? Am I too comfortable with what I have? Am I holding on to so much that my sisters and brothers cannot live? And I think that our culture, well, it doesn't make it much easier. And I think that's why this teaching from Jesus is just as relevant today as it was a couple thousand years ago. Because my experience is that we often operate within a binary in our culture around money. One side of the binary is that money will solve any and everything, that money makes the world go round, and that it is all powerful. I think that's pretty easy to see in American culture. The other side of the binary is that money is inescapably evil, that it is tainted, that it is corrosive. And so we are often left moving back and forth between these two poles, and I think it's here that Jesus shows a middle way that has great hope. Because often when we approach money, we are taught that it is something that we possess, right? That we possess this money, that it is mine, that I can hold on to it and I have ownership of it. The problem with this is that whenever we think we possess something, we will often do any and everything by any means necessary to protect and to defend it. Whether it is by force or coercion or tax loophole, we will do what we can to hold on to it. And it's not simply about money. We run this risk whenever we attempt to possess material goods, our children, our relationships, our land, our air, our water. Whenever we attempt to possess something, we cling to it and do not allow it to work for any end but ours. And in fact, we become possessed by it. And so maybe what Jesus is offering is that these gifts we receive, what we have, all that we have, has been given to us to steward, not to own. That we steward the land, that we steward our children, that we steward our money. It is something that we have received, and we have the opportunity to do something with beyond its own purpose. The Eastern Orthodox have a really wonderful practice that I think is helpful here, which is that when they look to bless an item, whether it is an altar or an icon or a cross, they do have prayers for consecration, and they also have a practice that if this object is being used towards righteous ends, that it is blessed through its use. That the things around us that we use become blessed when it is used for righteous purposes. And I wonder if that's what we might be doing here and now. We are given many, many gifts. And if we look at our checkbooks and our Mint.com ledgers or our Excel spreadsheets, can we look at them in a way that says, is this money working for any end but its own? How is it generating life? How is it bringing justice and mercy and compassion? This is a time of the year when we pay attention particularly to money and how we use it. The last few weeks, you may know that we have been reflecting on what we have been giving, on what we have been given, and then considering what we give others. And right now, this week, we are being asked to listen. Before next week, we'll be asked to respond. So this week, as you are engaging in your everyday, every week life, and you're bringing, maybe even you are using bills with dead presidents on them, or you're using a credit card, or you are pressing that yellow button, consider, as you use the coin of this realm, what blessings will it bring?